We're in the book of James. We're going to finish chapter 1 today. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1, please. And if you need a Bible, slip your hand up and we'll make sure you get one. Anybody need a Bible? All right. Sean, could we grab a Bible there? And we'll get one for you right away. This is a Harvest Bible Chapel, and we believe firmly in the Word of God, and He has something to say. And so we're going to start in James chapter 1 and verse 19. The greatest game ever played in high school football in the state of Texas was played against, that's right here, was played against number one in the nation versus number two in the nation in the high school championship game. And the game went back and forth and back and forth. Now one team, both teams undefeated, but one team had a great running back, while the other team had a great defense. And it came down to this. The score was a 14-10, and one team was driving towards the end zone. They got the ball to the 1 yard line with 5 seconds to play. The coach called timeout. Everybody knew it was going to the running back. Coach called the group together and designed the play. And he told the tight end, he said, "We're going to chip the defensive tackle, and then you go and hit the middle linebacker." And so the tight end lined up like tight ends do. The ball was hiked, and instead of chipping the defensive tackle, he swam over and went out and hit the linebacker. The problem with that was when the line surged, the defensive tackle, who was an All-American, looked and saw that the running back had the ball and made a beeline for the running back, and before he could even jump, hit him in the backfield, and the game was lost because one person didn't do their job. Now, the title of our message today is Do Your Job. There's lots of reasons people don't do their job right. I wrote these down. They didn't know how to do it right. And that's true. There are times where people don't know what they're supposed to do. We'll give them that. Another reason is they don't want to do it that way. You ever run across somebody like that? I don't want to do it your way. Your way seems stupid. I'm going to do it my way. And then ultimately, they end up doing it your way, but at great cost. Another one I wrote down is, they don't want to do it at all. People don't do their job because work is not for me. I like the benefits that I get from having a job, but I don't like to work to get those benefits. If money could grow on trees like bacon, right? We'd have a bacon tree and a money tree, and everything would be awesome. Amen? All those in favor? Not going to happen. Zero chance. Now, I would say the top two, how to do it and do it your way, are the main excuses that Christians use for the lack of work in their Christian life. And their failure to live up to what they say they believe. Now, I like to keep it simple. I'd like you to know where this message is going. You don't have to always agree with me. I just want you to make sure you understand what the Word is saying. And so here's where we're headed in this. I'm going to say it in a sentence. If I live up to what I profess to believe, it will be easily demonstrated in my actions. If I live up to what I profess, I believe. Because I believe, as I watched folks come down for communion, a lot of you profess to be believers this morning. If I live up to that, it would be easily demonstrated by my actions. So the value of doing my job as a believer, we're going to find out what is involved in doing my job as a believer. And so we're going to start with, in the text, just 3 points on this here. We're starting the text with verse 19. Job number one, receive the word. Receive the word. Let's look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, if you underline in your Bible, and if you have one of those church Bibles, it's okay. You should underline that. All right? And if you are sitting next to somebody who's like, I'm not underlining in my Bible. The Bible is our what? Our workbook for life. And so you need to help them out. So just reach over there and underline in their Bible. Okay? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive, here it is, with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Receive the word. Receiving the word is the effects of reading the word of God or hearing it. Now, one of the persons that I looked at this week said this. His name was Lehman Strauss, and in my commentary I was reading, he said this: the Bible is the only safe and sensible standard of right and wrong. See, the question is, why do we read the Bible? Why do we want to even hear the Bible? Well, here's a great definition. The Bible is the only safe and sensible standard of right and wrong. Its precepts don't take the joy out of living. Don't miss that. They make it worth living. See, some of us, we get to thinking, yeah, I can do that Christian thing, but then it's like you sucked on a lemon before you came to church. And you're just like, I'm so down because I'm at church and my joy is gone and all these people are like, I don't have it. You're missing this, the principle here. The Bible is the only safe and sensible place to show us how to live. You're fighting the battle of living it your way. Well, how do I listen? How do I receive this word? How do I do that, Nate? All right. Four quick things. Number one, listen better. Listen. Right? You've all seen that little YouTube video. Listen, Linda. All right. Well, listen, Christian. Listen better. That's where they start with. Be quick to hear. That's pretty simple. Be quick to hear. I mean, we talk too much. We need to be quick to hear. Now, parents, when you're like, yeah, I wish you would get that through to my children. All right, let it start with you. Okay? And be quick to hear. One guy said, we have two ears and one mouth, but we act like we have two mouths and one ear. Be quick to hear. A wise person will listen to others and only answer when he or she has something worthwhile to say. Did you catch that? I had a boss like that. Al Boxley was his name. And he would call me into his office and he would say, Nate, tell me about your store. How's it going? And I would just talk and he would just stare at you. He was taking it all in. And what I found out was I was sharing much more than I ever intended to share because he wasn't running his mouth and interrupting me every 5 seconds. He was listening. And then he could give me some proper perspective on how to handle the situations. And sometimes we need to be quick to hear. Like a mother listens for her babies. Right? They got that keen eye. They got that. I mean, I'm dead asleep in the middle of the night. My wife, bless her soul, and she's just like, up. And I'm like, what happened? Don't leave me here, guys. You know what I'm talking about, right? Caleb, right? Be quick to hear. Be quiet more. Number two, be quiet more. Slow to speak. James was writing to the Jewish believers spread apart throughout the area, but one of the writers, as I did some study this week, said that there was evidence that this church, get this, that as the letters were being read and as they were giving the messages, would argue with the pastor. Not cool. Not cool. Just saying. Okay? That someone who had spent all week preparing the word of the Lord, they would be like, whatever, We don't believe that. And he's like, you guys need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. He's really chastising him here. He's really going after him. And then number three, stop getting angry so quickly. How do I receive the word, listen better? Be quiet. And then stop. You know, here's the deal. Why is that there? Because we don't like what God's word reveals in our heart. And that makes us angry sometimes. And when we're quiet and we're not speaking and the Holy Spirit is revealing stuff to us, we don't like it. And that leads to anger. Because that means we have to deal with it. But I thought I could have righteous anger, yes, but this anger spoken of here, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger we act out is not in line with God and his character. It isn't in line with the fruits of the Spirit. I don't see it there in that list, right? But the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy, peace, anger. No, it's not there, right? You should have that look. No, that's not in there, right? And we want to be having the fruits of the Spirit more and more in our life. And it's not in line, as the scripture says here, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You should see it right there in the text. And then here's the last one. Ask God to till up any hardness in you. Ask God to till up any hardness in you. These words, look at here in the text, verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. In the Greek, there are not English words to describe how bad those words are. Okay? He's saying, these are really bad things. And he uses them, and we translate it as filthiness and wickedness, but that's not strong enough. I don't, what's the strong word you use at your house for something evil or filthy or dirty or beyond, like, what is acceptable? It's not a word I would go into my son's room and say, your room is filthy and wicked. Now, there are moments where I think that, but that's I don't have enough there. And he's like, what? Now, what he's saying here is when you embrace anger, when you embrace talking out, when you embrace not listening to the word, and then you have all of this filthiness and rampant wickedness that's supposed to be out of your life as a believer, you make no room for the word of God. And so he uses a very kind statement here. He says, and the reason I use the word till up the hardness, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word. Meekness and anger are opposite. Okay? So stop arguing with God to get your way. You catch that? You want your way and not his way, and he wants you to remain under the trial that just dropped in your life and stop arguing with him. Have the heart that is tilled and ready to receive God's word. It's like remember the parable of the sower? And he throws it. And what kind of heart is your ground is your heart right now? Is it hard? Does it need to be broken up? The word of God is like a hammer and a chisel. And we don't like that sometimes. But receive the word. Prayer is needed for God to loosen the soil in your heart so that you can receive the implanted word of God. That's such a precious statement there. I hope you see it as a precious statement that God wants to implant his word that changes you. The only thing that changes you, he wants to implant into your heart, into your life. But, everybody say but. Accumulated scripture knowledge without application can create a feeling of self-righteousness. And that's where the text goes. Don't miss what I said there. You want this implanted word, but if that's all you're doing and you're becoming these spiritual big heads, then that leads to self-righteousness. Well, I've been reading and I've read the Bible through 6 times in 3 years. Well, great for you. Did you do it? That's the second thing we want to look at here. Do the word. Do the word. Look at verse 22, everybody following along. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, circle those two words, forgets, acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Hearing is not enough. Being doers of the word, we can translate the written message into the language of those around us so that they cannot fail to read the word of God through us. Let me say that again. If we are doers of the words, we translate the written message into the language that those around us cannot fail to read. You don't have to hide the fact that you're a believer. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Everybody, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't hide that fact. Okay? But as we do the word that we hear, the imparted, implanted word of God in our life, as we do it, then others will read in your life the written word of God. Now look through the text. There's two types of people represented here. And I want to show you. You're one of them here. All right? Look up here for a minute. I love you. One of you here, maybe more, are hearers. And that's it. And some of you are doers. But let's just see what the scripture says each one of these is. Okay? Hearers, doers. I like being a hearer. That's great. Let's just find out what God thinks about that. Okay? If we look at the text, it says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what it's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. All right, so a couple things, three things on hearers. Hearers observe. They observe the word. They observe themselves. He uses a picture of a mirror here. God's word is like a mirror. It reflects what we are as we see it. Okay? And so, go back to that other slide, Ben. He sees the word and goes away and forgets. That's what hearers do. They read the word, they go away, and they forget. Sadly, many of us are like this, and we hear it, and it takes 5 steps, and we forget it. Have you ever been there? But there's something to be said when we have application to the same message. Just a sidebar here. That's why we love our small groups, because we do pulpit-based curriculum, which means what you hear on Sunday, you're going to get in your small group on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay? And when that happens, you're actually not just being a hearer, but a doer. You've got to put it into practice. You've got to answer some questions to see, how does this really apply to my life? So let's look at doers. Doers look into the word, the scripture says. They persevere, and they act. All right? They look into it, they persevere, and they act. Which one do you think you'd like to be? The idea in the Greek is that hearers, they're in this constant process of absence from the mirror. So they don't see what it says. But hearers, but doers hear the word and what? What's the key there? What's that second word? Persevere. See, sometimes when we hear the word, it's hard. It's hard to hear it. Say it's hard. It is hard, right? When you've got to make a decision based on your what you're hearing from the Word of God, sometimes it's hard, but you have to hupomene, you have to remain under and persevere through this and act on it. God's Word is a mirror that reveals what is in need of change in our life. The idea is that they look at it intently, but they walk away. That's what the hearers do. And forget soon what they just saw. Now, why do you have a mirror? How many have a mirror in their house? How lost, truth of church now, how lost would you be if you had no mirrors in your house at all? Pretty lost. I mean, guys are like, yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, this is it. Fonzarelli. Hey. Ladies, am I causing you to stress right now? The thought of losing my mirror in my house? What? Can't take that? A mirror helps us see ourselves for who we really are and to make adjustments. Okay? Catch that? And that's probably why it's lost on a lot of guys, this whole idea of mirrors. It helps us make adjustments. I'm good. I realize some of you treat a mirror like a second-class stepchild in your house, gentlemen, but you try to avoid it at all costs. But the ladies know what I'm saying. They would never leave without looking at a mirror, not one time, not two times, maybe 1,000. Amen? Oh, come on now. Now let's translate into what the text is saying. The hearers take a mere glance into the Word. They come to church for some small adjustments, maybe for the fellowship, not really looking into the text. And then they forget what they saw or heard in this case. By the time the last amen is said and Sean says, "You are loved," it's gone. And they fail to obey the laws of God and live in defeat as a Christian constantly. And they're always, man, why did I fail? Why did I fail? Why did I fail? And it's sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. And they're up and they're down and they're up and they're down because they're hearers of the Word. They're not putting it into practice. Hearing doesn't equal doing. Reading doesn't equal doing. Talking doesn't equal doing. Doing equals doing. Warren Wiersbe said this, "When a child of God looks into the Word of God and he sees the Son of God, he is transformed by the Spirit of God to share in the glory of God." Let's put that up there, Ben, so I can say it again. When a child of God looks into the Word of God, he sees the Son of God and he is transformed by the Spirit of God to share, key there, in the glory of God. Doers do, and then they share. The reason we gather is twofold here at Harvest, okay? We gather to praise God for the great things that he's done. And like the song says, in the good times and in the bad, yet we will praise. And we do that in our worship service, and then we look from his Word. And we're quick to hear. And we're not angry with what he says, and we're not arguing with him, and we're looking at it and finding ways to persevere so that it can change us. The scripture says in Romans 12, verse 2, "But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And there's a third part: looks, perseveres, and acts. Doers act on what they heard. Now, back to the mirror. Back to the mirror, guys. Okay? If your wife told you you had a smudge on your face, not here, here, but here, right there, you would check it out, wouldn't you? I know that if my wife said, "Nate, you've got a little mark, maybe you should go check that out," because I love her and because I know she only has my best interest at heart, I'm going to the mirror. I'm not going to the window. I'm not going to the back door. I'm going to the mirror. I'm going to check it out. But if I just left there without doing anything with it, how foolish is that? Right? And so we act on what we just heard and saw. Young men, when they get ready for a date, you come in from working wherever you were and you got dirty hands and you smell like you've been working the line for 8 hours and you know you're going to see that girl. And you kind of look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, well, maybe. And then your mom says, you better do something with that. So you get a shower and you wash your hands. Then you go back to that mirror and you check it out. While you have it, you might as well check it out. And some of you are like, oh, I'm supposed to do that? Oh. The Christian's life is always lived. Listen, this is important. The Christian's life is always lived in the present tense. If you did something 4 years ago for God, that's great. What have you done now? The Christian's life is always lived in the present tense. And if you did something awesome for God, that's great, like I said, but spiritual heads grow up fatter, and as that happens, the body grows weaker for lack of use. So what am I supposed to do, Nate? Tell me. I'm eager. Well, great question. You always ask great questions. Start with this. Share the word. Share the word. Three things. How do I do it? Just three little vias here. Via your speech. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. All right, couple things here, because I'm sure some of you are going, religion? I thought you taught that religion's bad. Yes. All right, but religion in a sense here, that the specific way in which your heart relationship is to God and how it's expressed in your life. All right? So Case, come on up here, brother. What I'm saying is this. If I'm at work and Case is my co-worker, and we've been working side by side, and he asks a question about something, and I just look at him, and I lay into him, and I might even slip a swear word in there, and you're worthless, and you never keep up the quota, and he's like just trying to know how to do his job better, right?
What the heck?
Right. But then the Christmas play is coming, and so I'm all convicted because I've been at church. We got this Christmas Eve thing coming up, and so I'm like, I know who I can invite. Hey, Case, would you like to come to church with me? Now, yeah, exactly. In this mind, Case already knows, because I can't control my tongue around him. Maybe one time I tell him a dirty joke, or I laugh at his. Maybe one time I talk bad about my boss. His boss, my boss, you know, they're friends. Maybe one time I say something mean about his family. I don't know why this guy hasn't hit me yet, right? Where's my testimony? I say I believe this, but my tongue has ruined my testimony. You ever been there? With my coworker. Thank you, Case. And so he says, bridle your tongue. All the horse people in here know exactly what that means. Get that bit, put it in there. Keep it under control. Share the word via my speech. The tongue is an acute and accurate index of what we are at the core of our person. So if our heart is right, our speech will be too. Bridle your tongue and bring it under control like a horse in a bit. You must control what you say. What? Do you want to be a doer of the word? You have to control what you say. See, everything will hinge off of this as we go forward in James. We're going to get into speech. We're going to get into these last three things. Over the next three chapters, they come up again and again and again. And it starts here. To be a doer, it starts with your outward tongue, how you are perceived by your coworkers, by what you say. Gossip should not be named among you. How you treat your wife and kids, men. Your verbal assaults on your children. Keep it under control. Again, the best weapon in this is prayer. Then via your service, notice from the text, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Now, how many have ever read that verse before? Okay. Words are no substitute for action. Let me say that again. Words are no substitute for action. Our action is what? They will know you are Christians by your love. All right? And how we love. And this is an example in this text of two of the lowest class citizens in their country. Because there was no plan for somebody whose husband had passed away. No plan. She had nothing. Lost everything. And the church is to, by their action, help the widow. I think about back with Elijah and that widow and her son, and she had nothing. And Elijah says, well, what are you doing? She says, I'm about to make my last cake, and me and my son are going to eat it and then die. There's no plan in this society for that to happen for the widow. Now, there are some plans that we have in our country for that. But the idea here is that meeting them the lowest point of need, orphans who have lost both parents, who've lost everything. And the love of Christ should compel us to meet people in their lowest point of need. Ministry, I wrote this down for you guys to see. Ministry is responding to the authentic needs of others with the love of Jesus Christ by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's doing. I'm doing ministry. You're responding to the needs of others with the love of Jesus Christ. Jer did ministry this morning during communion because some of you needed to hear who you were currently and who you can be in Christ and responding to your authentic need of a Savior. And some of us, we respond to other needs as people need food, clothing, prayer. That's ministry. Authentic faith shows itself in appropriate action. Okay? Let me say that again. Authentic faith shows itself in appropriate action. Lastly, via your separation from the world. How do I share? Via your separation from the world. That's where the text ends. That's where we'll end. Visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Everything within us wants to be like our unsaved friends. But once we've left that life behind for the greatness of God and the forgiveness of our sins, our goal is to be pure. I'll give you a chance there. A good spot for an amen. Our goal is to be pure, right? My wife got me this great drink this morning. If I had a glass of water and I poured this drink into that water, would the water be pure? Even just a little bit, right? Or just a little bit? Just a tiny little bit? Wouldn't, would it? Do I make you thirsty when I do that? Our goal is to be unstained. That's what the word unstained means. You're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved and justified. And the last thing you should be doing, listen, the last thing you should be doing is soiling yourself with the world's way of thinking and doing what the world says is okay. You've left that life behind. Do you know how you hate me because I tell you the truth? And he finishes this text. You want to be a doer? Share the word in your speech, in your action, and by devoting yourself to being unstained from the world. Don't soil yourself with the world's way of thinking. There's too much of that going on in the world today, especially amongst Christians. Everything the world says is okay is not okay. So God really wants to produce in us holiness. The moral of this message is this: authentic faith shows up in appropriate action. Okay? Don't just be hearers of the word, church. Be doers of it. The whole text is this: we listen better. Active listening to God, to others, to His Word. We seek God's way, not our way. See, when we seek our way, as our worship team comes, when we seek our way leads to frustration, which leads to anger. Have you been there? Have you been there this morning, trying to get the kids ready to go to church? And it's 8:30 and you got to leave at 8:35? Our way leads to frustration, which leads to anger. I used to hate it when we would go to church and our kids were like 5, 3, and 1. And it was just like toting the army and of angriness as we were coming into church. Right? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we need to hone ourselves in to seek God's way. We do what God tells us in His Word. That's the mirror. Right? God's word is a mirror, and it shows you stuff that's going to make you angry. I'm sorry, but that's what leads us to better holiness in our life. And we bridle our tongue, and we increase our service, and we never seek to go back to that old way of life. We keep ourselves unstained from the world. So, hey, that's your challenge this week. You guys up for it? It's halftime. And I'm the coach. And my challenge is for you to be hearers and doers. Listen. Talk less. Be angry less. And put what you've heard into action. What you've read into action. And if God is calling you to do something, it may be difficult. Look, it may be difficult. But doers persevere and act. And that's what you're called to do today. Okay? Okay? Can we do it? Yep. We can do it? Everybody say amen if you can do it. Amen. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you are so good. We thank you for how you challenge us and try to make us more like your dear son. That's what we've signed up for. That's what we've cried out for. We've tried our way. Our way is no good. Our way only leads to frustration and anger. And so we have repented of that way and cried out to you for salvation. You've saved us, and you've called us to a better life. Ones that don't just hear and forget, but ones that hear and do and act on it and persevere through it. And so, Father, we thank you. And we thank you that we can call you Father and that you love us enough not to keep us where we're at. You change us from that. We're frustrated with where we're at. And so you're changing us, and it's difficult, and we want to go back, but we know that you're calling us to a better life. I pray for this church, God. I pray that these people that are here today would just honestly seek how they can grow in their faith this week and be doers of the word. And as we sing this last song, receive the praise that we have for you. You are so awesome, and we love you. And we thank you for the salvation you give in the matchless name of Jesus. And we say these things in His name alone. Amen. Well, let's